This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Is the phone number here. Maybe our guest, we'll want to take some callers and questions, maybe. But 603-283-6160 is the number. But first, I wanted to tell you that Free Talk Live has a social mastodon you can go on to if you hate Twitter. Social.freetalklive.com is back online. We apologize for the delay, but now you are free to resume posting on our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Colin,
and Nikki.
And we have a guest on tonight, Scott from the Seacoast in New Hampshire, and he knows a lot about Argentina.
I have to interrupt. On the break, I got a message from Derek J., and he actually says he's going to go to Argentina to do a victimed crime spree. He says this is his last chance to get it out of his system before Malay imposes all the changes, and so he's just going to go down there. You sold it on him, Scott. He's going to do everything he can down there. It's going to be pretty
Derek
bad.
Derek J.'s victim crime spree.
Yeah. No joke, people.
He could do it.
Yeah.
Jesus, that's terrible. So basically, he's referencing that apparently in Argentina, you can not even defend yourself. It's basically illegal. Like, obviously, guns are illegal. And any other kind of self-defense is apparently illegal. And Malay wants to change that. So, Scott, in the last two segments, we basically sat up for the listeners just how Argentina got into the situation they are in and how bad it is. It sounds so bad. Progressives, communists, they have ruined that country. I guess you'd say socialists. Well, either way, they have ruined that country. It's like same difference to me, communist, socialist, whatever. They have ruined the country, and now let's fast forward to 2021. And a man named Javier Milei has been reading up on economics. He read a book that our founding co-host Ian Freeman actually did an audiobook for. I'm pretty sure the only audiobook for this book called A Market for Liberty. So whenever Javier Milei read that book, he went from, I'm kind of like a conservative to a straight up anarcho-capitalist. And then he created something called La Libertad Avanza and ran for president, or not president, for Congress. So let's start with that and tell people how that how was he able to do that and win on his first try?
Yeah, so he had been a pundit. He's been an economist. He's published like 50 economics papers. He's been a head of a top corporation as the chief economist and financial analyst. Then in 2016, they put him on the air. A big mistake for them. They put him on like television. This guy named Alejandro Fantino put him on this program because he's very knowledgeable in economics. And then he was just a hit. Like he would go on and he would be no holds bar, no diplomacy. Like
even back then, he was like the leftist scum needs to die and stuff like that.
He was saying he was not holding any bar. He was talking about the the currency is worse than feces, and like you're putting a gun to my head, and like
yeah, he was saying things like taxation is theft, and
taxation is theft,
and you gotta love some of the antics. I mean, and of course everybody I think knows about the chainsaw ones, but you know, there's the one with the pinata of the central bank, and so he's like, breaking, he's going crazy too.
Everyone doesn't necessarily know about the chainsaw. Basically, during his campaigns, he went around with a chainsaw saying, "Oh, I'm gonna cut everything," right?
That's right. Yeah. And so they brought him on, and it was such a fringe thing. Cause I remember at the time I've been following him forever. And, it was such a kind of, it was just like this unique perspective, and it was so fringe that they didn't think it was harm. They probably thought it was harmless. And so they're just leaning, and then Malay would always like just blow up every segment. Like he'd be like, "This is bull crap," and like, you know, "These guys are corrupt," and like you know, "Free markets," and you know, "Communism sucks," you know, and saying it in like he's just incredible way. And you started to see a burgeoning like libertarian movement. Like it was small, I remember, but you could actually, my wife and I would see these people that are starting to follow Malay, and you see his Instagram count getting more higher and higher and stuff.
Yeah,
and
I was really blown away. I was at the Anarchapulco conference, Mexico, last year. There were some Argentine people there, and they were talking with me. And of course, my impression, which is kind of true, or at least has been true, of all of Central and South America, or I should say Latin America, is it's always had this strong socialist, communist kind of leaning. And so I was talking with them, and I was like, you know, you got to be like the only ones in your entire country. And he's like, no, there's actually, it was like growing. And then he was mentioning, and I'm pretty sure he said Malay, but if he didn't say Malay, he said one of the other guys, you'll know the name off the top of your head, but and he was like, "No, yeah, he's what?"
Go ahead.
Oh yeah, you say, "Yeah, he's on the TV doing all this, and he's popularizing it." And so you know, I was pretty surprised, you know, to even see that and to be hearing about this even a year ago. I just, you know, the things didn't line up in my head to really pay attention to at that point in time, because I just thought, well, what's he gonna do in a country that's got those sorts of issues? How can he get ahead? You know.
Right. Yeah, so basically he'd been doing this on the television, and just acting like, you know, and all of the opponents would call him a clown, and, you know, this sort of thing. And it was like in 2020, he and this Espert guy, he's a libertarian economist, they came on and said, "We're going to get into politics, because this is getting so bad in Argentina. It's like, we're trying to spread the message. We're not doing it, but we're going to get into politics." And Espert tried, and Espert kind of failed. He ran for president. He got like 1% in 2019, or 2%. I think he got 2%. And then, in 2021, Malay said he was going to run for the Congress, which is they call it the deputies, it's the lower house, it's like the House of Representatives, but it's like 160,000 people has one representative, which is a better ratio than the U.S. But
as good as New Hampshire, though.
Not as good as New Hampshire, not quite. But so,
the U.S. Congress, it's much better.
Yeah, it's like 700,000 for the U.S. Congress per. It's only 160,000 in Argentina, and it's not fixed. So every 160,000 people move to Argentina, they gain an extra representative, which is better than the U.S. does it. But if you care about that thing, but so he decides to run, and he's like the only guy going against in like the whole country, politician that's going against the COVID lockdowns. He's the only guy talking about how terrible they are and everything else. And, you know, he's, you know, banging his fist. And also, before that, one of the other reasons why they were thinking about why he decided to run is the government was talking about and trying to censor him. So they are trying to like censor him off the radio and off of everything, because they're starting to figure out this Malay guy is becoming a problem. And so that's another reason why he started to run. So I remember I was following his campaign in 2021, and he was expected to get like 1 or 2% of the vote. He's a libertarian party. He just started his party, La Libertad Avanza. It's a very small third party. So he was expected to get like 1 or 2% of the vote. And then he got enough percentage of the vote to get elected to the Congress, to the deputies, which was at the time, like it was all over Argentinian, media. Like, it was just like, that was the big thing. Oh my gosh, this crazy man, Milei, got elected. It was actually kind of funny at the time. It was like, he was getting, you know, and then Milei is such a, he's so brilliant in how he uses symbolism.
I love how we all have a crush on Milei.
I know. But, how he
but for different reasons.
How he uses symbolism. He's also a tantric sex coach.
Right? That's really? Why
I like
I'm
his
into
hair.
Him. Yeah.
I didn't
know
that about him being a tantric sex coach.
Yeah, he's
it makes
done
sense.
So many different things. But
he's got a lot going for him.
He is following this trend we see worldwide of like these celebrity type politicians, because he was a soccer player and also was kind of fan.
Rolling Stones. He's a Rolling Stones cover band.
Yeah.
That's so funny.
He's in a Rolling Stones cover band. That's he's great. An economist. That's why I think
was
it's why. Yeah, he was a singer.
Wow.
You can find some of his stuff online of him singing.
Mick Jagger.
So, yeah. He's. So I think that all plays into his persona. As an economist, he's a really smart economist. Really, like, really brilliant. Like I said, he got into Murray Rothbard. He named his dog after Murray Rothbard. His dog's named Murray. His dog's named after all American economists. So his four living dogs are Murray.
He would
Milton.
Feel at home if he visited here, because we know a number of different people here with dogs named after economists and libertarians
Murray Rothbard.
And stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah,
right.
Murray Rothbard. Another one is Ron Paul.
Yeah. No, that's right.
Oh, yeah, that's who I know.
And Robert Lucas, he loves Robert Lucas, the economist, the supply-side economist that won the Nobel Prize. So he's got one named Robert and the other one named Lucas. So he's, like, extremely well-versed in economics. And so all these things combined, and he's just, his antics are. So here's the thing that really, like, made him super popular, is he would allotto off his salary to one lucky winner.
Lotto, yeah, like auction.
I was gonna say, I thought a lotto was like a popsicle.
Oh,
or ice cream.
Like a lottery off his salary. So he would get like emails and email list, and he would every time he got a salary as a congressman, he would lotto it off in this whole big grand exposition to one lucky winner. So everybody in the country wanted to be a part of his email list, and it was hilarious. He would always make it a huge thing, and it just started to increase his popularity. He kept doing all of these things. He would go up and make big speeches, grand speeches in the Congress, and tell everybody they're parasites. And you know, he was like, when I was there in November 2022, you could definitely tell it was like a Ron Paul. I saw stickers, Milei stickers around the Buenos Aires and stuff. So it was in the first time I just knew that there was something with this Milei guy is, I remember, he would go out to places and all of a sudden he would just get mobbed. I remember the first time I saw it is he was out and there was this, the school bus of these schoolgirls. They were like maybe like sophomore in high school, and all of them were saw Milei. They're like, and they all just rush over to Milei, and they want to get pictures with Milei. And it's like, wow. And then I see him again, and he goes to a place, and he's just getting mobbed by people. He just everywhere he goes, he's just getting mobbed and mobbed and mobbed. And he was like, wow, this thing is actually getting really big. You know, he was kind of this.
I feel like no politician would that happen to in the United States. You know, like even Ron Paul, he wouldn't be getting quote mobbed.
Yeah, I'm gonna definitely make some enemies. What Milei has done, in my opinion, is way more than Ron Paul has ever accomplished. I mean, you could say that just in terms of the electoral victory, but I would say even furthermore in how much he's like changed the culture and everything there. Not to take anything away from Ron Paul, I mean, most of us wouldn't be where we are here, and of course there are crossovers between us and what's going on down there where we fed it in some ways.
Yeah, I'm gonna keep it in my brain that because Ian did that audiobook. Doug Casey found the book, and then Millay exists.
Yes, I'm sure Millay would very much appreciate Doug Ian very much.
That the culture, though, is really important because, you know, and one thing I wanted to kind of come back to, you know, in the previous segment you're talking about how bad things have been down there. You know, I've heard so many, because I listen to content, news content from all around the world, and there are, like, British people that are saying, well, you know, they've had it so bad for so long, they just, you know, decided to try anything. But that's not what you really see in the voting, because, you know, if somebody's seen it so bad for so long, they would be old, and yet all the old people were voting for the establishment candidates, and it was the younger people who voted for him. Something like 63% of people, what was it?
Under the age of 20, it might have been even 70% of the people under the age of 24 voted for Millay.
And so, I mean, that's just huge. I mean, like, how many young people in the United States would identify as, you know, libertarian or anarcho-capitalist or voluntarist or any one of those terms? Yeah, and I mean, I actually think, although I don't have anything to back this up, but I think it's true that basically, like, Scott and I's generation, and maybe just a bit older, is the most libertarian generation there's been.
Millennials? I don't know if I believe that.
It's not the younger people, and it's not the older people.
I've heard the Zoomers are actually not bad either.
I forget which
when I think of millennials, I think of not you guys, but I think of like very entitled. And by the way, I'm supposedly technically a millennial, but I do not identify that way.
Entitled. No, I'm just kidding.
No, but I just think of like entitled liberals who are like $15 an hour minimum wage. I like Bernie Sanders.
I think of like the youngest generation when I think of that, like college kids
know
now.
Who Bernie Sanders is. You know?
No, they wouldn't even like him. I mean, he's like old and stale, and he doesn't even go.
Yeah,
far
they want
enough.
To vote for a little baby.
They're getting pretty bad.
I've heard that they. I think that the millennials are a little bit more. I think the millennials. You can see this in the data. Are a little bit more. More progressive. And I've heard that the Zoomers are actually kind of rebelling against that. They're more conservative.
Yeah.
So,
are they libertarian?
Some of
you know?
Both. And there's some that are libertarians. I think it's probably right.
I guess there are more millennial libertarians in New Hampshire than there are Zoomers, so I'll give you that.
Right. There was no internet.
But
you know,
one
so
thing we
hard.
Can definitely agree on is that the Boomers are
lost
not,
cause.
Yeah, they're a lost cause. They're not able to really use the internet and understand jokes and things like that. They type dot, 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 dot after everything they say, so everyone thinks they're mad at them.
Is this something that
really bothers Bonnie?
Yeah.
Is the dot, dot, the points and ellipsis misuse?
I was about to say there's a name for that.
Yeah, I know it's ellipsis, but I know it is, but I'm just always saying. And besides, they don't use an ellipsis. They put like five dots.
Bonnie just hates caps lock.
That's letting you know how uncertain they are. The more dots.
They're just confused.
But they just say like... It's like, it'll be like your mom, and she'll be like, what are you doing today? Dot, 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 dot.
Yeah.
Why? Anyways, I just think, like, we can agree that younger people are more close to libertarians than older people. I feel like older people are just so brainwashed because all they're used to is having no ability to get information other than from the TV or from their parents or from their teacher.
Yeah, right. They're not used to having... I mean, obviously, like, even boomers, like, they have access to the internet. They have for a long time, but they're not using it in the same way that the younger generations are.
They didn't grow up with it.
You know, yeah, they didn't grow up with it. So, I mean, we're seeing, like, even, like, the college kids, I mean, they... can find out about all sorts of things. So if they were to kind of, if libertarianism or ANCAP was to pique their interest, they would be able to open their mind up to all of that information where boomers probably might not be able as well.
I'll kind of go, against that and back up what I was saying about, like, my generation. Not like I'm trying to brag, like, I don't really feel like I'm part of my generation either, but, the boomers, it's all, what's the television or what's the radio say or things like that.
Yeah.
They're not using the internet like that. But all the young people don't use the internet the way that I do. Like, I remember a time when there really wasn't the internet. Like, the people in my generation, it, like, started entering their houses.
Yeah.
There was no, like, these big, YouTubes and Facebooks and things like that that censored. And so I would have to go search for information, and I would see contradictory information. I'd have to figure out what was true.
Yeah, you have to filter it yourself.
Yeah, and it was, those were the wild West days. I mean, I saw videos of like Saddam Hussein's execution and stuff like that, even though that wasn't supposed to be out there. But, you know, nowadays everything is filtered through these different apps that people use on their phones. Like most of these young kids, I don't even think they actually know what like the internet is, like other than that it's on their phone. But even then, I think they actually
don't understand what it really is. That's probably right. You know, and especially nowadays, like where Google owns YouTube, and it's kind of like things are more like Facebook owns all the social media, so you're not even getting different kinds of social medias. It's an umbrella of it looks different. Yeah. Instagram might look differently, but it's still owned by Facebook and it's still censored and it has that same algorithm.
Well, another thing about all those algorithms that's kind of like disturbing is, you know, back in the day when governments did propaganda, they would have to try to tailor a propaganda that got the most amount of people to agree with it. But nowadays, you can actually get very specific things because they're tracking you. Yeah. So they'll push like a particular thing to you. So whatever you identify as, you know, like if it's whether it's conservative or, you know, as a what's the word I'm looking for here? You know,
progressive.
Well, no, I mean, like let's say something even about your sexuality. So they might be like, oh, you like this content because you're into
bisexual?
No. Like, I'm trying to think of a word other than tranny. What's the word I'm looking for right now?
Transgender.
That's the word I was looking for. So, like, let's say a person has something like that really defines them to themselves. They might start pushing to you, like, transgender YouTubers or whatever, TikTokers or whatever, and then those people will like be like, yeah, I can't wait to go fight in Iran or something like that, and you'll like go along with it because it's like, oh yeah, it's just like me. Like they're gonna get a really able to, you know, pinpoint this stuff down and give people the specific type of propaganda that resonates with them. And, you know, people aren't paying attention. The phones are seeing everything you're doing.
Oh, absolutely.
Your facial expressions, how much you wait before you scroll down on an item. So they know what you like. I do things that purposefully. I'm like, no, you're not going to see me looking at this thing longer than I was looking at it. And I go fast. But anyways, that was my rant.
Yeah, and in South America, they don't seem to care as much about the Spanish. They don't seem to have nearly as many censors and that sort of thing on Spanish content. So they people in Argentina and YouTube are much more able to see Malay.
Yeah, I totally noticed that. When I've searched for content in different languages, it's not as censored because they're just not paid attention to it, or they, you know,
that's so weird.
Yeah, I definitely think he snuck through in a sweet spot. Like after this, you know, they're gonna get all over this and try to clamp it down and try to give people, you know, the false dichotomies of choice. So you go, you can choose between socialist A and status, you know, B or whatever. So I'd like, this is all just completely, oh, there we go.
It's fine. You can still talk during the thing. It's Free Talk Live and more is coming up. We are basically doing Argentina Talk Live tonight, but you can call in with questions if you'd like to. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Are you a business owner? Are you confused by the complexity of the tax laws? We can help. I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been helping business owners solve tax problems for over 40 years. My book, The Small Business Tax Guide, shows proven ways to avoid all the common business tax problems. Don't risk your business. Go to danpilla.com to order your copy. That's danpilla.com. Order now and get a free 15-minute call directly with me, a $99 value. Go to danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com.
USA News Update. The Federal Reserve has opted to maintain current interest rates, postponing any potential rate cuts until later in the year. Another meeting is scheduled for March. An ongoing exchange of prisoners between Russia and Ukraine is in progress. Officials from both countries have reported the return of over 200 Ukrainian service members in exchange for 195 Russian soldiers. This marks the initial swap following the tragic Russian military plane crash, which the nation claimed was transporting 65 captured Ukrainian soldiers. President Biden is set to visit East Palestine, Ohio for the first time, 1 year after a train carrying hazardous materials derailed and led to air and water contamination. The White House announced that Biden will meet with affected residents next month and evaluate the progress of recovery efforts. The president received criticism for not promptly visiting the town in the aftermath of the derailment. John Schaefer, USA News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Are you still looking for that one iodine that you can really trust? A medical doctor-endorsed product that is backed by honest research and true integrative science? Then search no further. Go to NutraMedical.com for Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutriodine, proven time and time again to be the very best iodine available for you. Nutriodine is the only Tesla-activated monatomic plasma iodine in the world. It optimizes mitochondrial function and generation of new mitochondria from totally neutralized the venom from a desert recluse spider bite in Southern California to eliminating malaria parasites reported by medical missionaries in Central India. Dr. Bill's Nutriodine is simply the most powerful healing formula there is. Nutriodine clears the body of all known pathogens, restores it to an alkaline state, and even promotes stem cell regeneration. Order Dr. Bill's Nutriodine today at 888-212-8871 or visit us online at NutriMedical.com.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
That's 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Machine3125, that's Machine3125, for being a diamond-level amplifier with us at Free Talk Live. An amplifier means somebody that helps to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And we really, really appreciate everybody who does that. So thank you so much to Machine3125. And if you'd like to learn more, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com. And with you in the studio tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Colin.
Nikki.
And we have a guest. Oh, sorry, go ahead. We have a guest on as well.
I think I know.
He was ready.
321, was it 3125's brother, 3126?
Yeah.
Yeah, good guy.
They were born in the same lab.
same production run.
So in the studio tonight, we do have a guest named Scott. Sorry, I spoke over you when you were talking or introducing yourself. And in the last three segments, we were talking about Argentina, basically how we got here today with the only anarcho-capitalist president in the world in Argentina. And his name is Javier Milei, if you haven't heard of him. And we basically, I think we covered all the history. We covered all the poverty and how bad it is there. And I want to get to Javier Milei himself. So basically, we saw in 2021, we talked about in 2021, he won his election to Congress there. He started his own party called the Libertad Avanza, Liberty Advances, and that's an awesome name. And what has he done since then, Scott?
Yeah, so he got elected, and I mean, nobody thought he was going to get elected. I don't think he thought he was going to get elected, but he won the primary and then forced a runoff in the general election. And then in the runoff, he got 56% of the vote. He got the most votes ever in an Argentinian election. He got over 14 million votes in Argentina.
Just to Congress?
No, for
president. Yeah, president.
Sorry about that. Yeah, so he started running shortly after he won his congressional seat. He decided he was going to run for president.
Nice.
And so, yeah. So he part of the reasons he was doing all the stunts and all that sort of thing was to get popularity, to get publicity, and it worked. And, you know, you saw, just like I said, everywhere he went, and it was like early 2022 or early 2023, late 2022, you'd see him going places, and it was like 10,000 people would just be there to watch him, to see him. He went to some typically Peronist/progressive places, and like Tierra de Fuego, and it would just be like you'd get mobbed. And so it was something special, and they didn't think he was going to do very well, but he did way better than his polling, and basically he blew up Argentina when he won the primary, which is like right before the general election. It's kind of hard to explain, but it matters. And he just blew up Argentina, and then eventually won in the runoff by a huge margin.
Yeah. Well, they had two. What was it? Two runoffs, and then the regular election, right?
No, they have like a primary. It's a jungle system where it's everybody votes on the same day. And what happens is that the person whose party gets the most votes, so they'll have multiple different parties, and they'll see who went, you know, just like our primaries, they'll see who's going to be the nominee of the party. But these are actually really important because you only get one vote. It's an open primary, and you choose who you want. And what happens is the party with the most votes wins. And every single time that the party with the most votes, besides every single time except for one time, and that was a weird exception, the party with the most votes wins the general election in these primaries. And Milei got the most votes. He got 30% of the vote.
Well, first time around, he got 36, right?
No, he just got 30%.
I thought it was 36, and then it was 30, and then the final thing.
No. He stayed at 30. Yeah.
Okay.
There was so much fraud in the second one. So he got the most votes, which blew up Argentina because like this crazy ANCAP guy got the most votes and is like most likely going to become president.
Yeah. Well, I think that speaks too to the fact that like, you know, it's not like people they had the one chance to like even see if they liked him. And then because they got that chance, and they said, "Oh, other people support him," and then they were able to be like, "Okay, well, maybe I will too." You know,
you don't
really get that here in the U.S. where you know there's basically these two parties, and it's like you pretty much you have to pick one or the other, and then you're always like, "Well, the lesser of two evils. Oh, I guess I'll do that one." You know, and of course, evil always wins, but usually the worst guy, I think. But you know, there with a kind of runoff type thing, you at least get to test and see, like, oh, I might actually like this other guy. Let me throw my vote out there the first time around. And then, you know, there is support for this. Because, you know, I mean, we really, the way the two-party system is locked up here, it makes it to where nobody even wants to take a chance. And, you know, you've seen it here in New Hampshire where there'll be a Libertarian Republican who gets elected, and then he'll switch to being an L. you know, well, he'll be a loser too, but he'll switch to being a libertarian, and then he won't get any votes. And it's like, but wait, you're already the incumbent. So it is really strange to see how powerful the two-party effect is in people's minds here. But anyways, that was, you know, go ahead, Scott.
Yeah, it is interesting because the debates in Argentina actually had all the parties polling over 1%. So they had the socialists, which are, they're like literally communists, and they're open about that. Mm. You had this, this province called Cordoba is like the most based. They call it Cordoba based. It's like the most anti-Kirchner province. It's a farming province, and they hate the Peronists and the Kirchners generally. And they had their own candidate trying to represent the interior of the country because Buenos Aires, like I said, it's eighth biggest country. It's very dominated by Buenos Aires. They got about 15 million people there, and the rest of the country is pretty empty. So there's other province, Cordoba ran somebody to try to get some interest into the interior of the country. Then you had the center right, and then you had Massa, which is like the Kirchner, Peronist, and then Milei. So the center right disgraced themselves with Macri when the economy just kept getting worse. And then Massa was the economics minister the last 2 years when the economy just fell off a roof. So he had lost a lot of his he was nobody respected him. And then you had this crazy guy that is actually talking about inflation, which nobody else was talking about, and Milei. And I think that's why he was chosen. So, the debates were great watching all five of those. And Milei really hated the socialist, Marion Bregman, but it was pretty funny.
Did he hold back at all, or did he call her a parasite?
He was fairly civil in the debates.
Probably the best idea.
Yeah, there was famous clips of him when he was a pundit calling politicians parasites to the face.
Nice.
Saying you're a parasite. Stuff like that. But he was pretty civil because he knew that he already had those people. He already had the people that loved, when he called people craziness. He was trying to get the people that were like, those other people. Yeah, on the fence, or like he wanted to assure them that he wasn't crazy, or anything like, or a clown, like he'd always been called. So
that makes a lot of sense.
I mean, I'm kind of missing the old, antics, to be honest. I'm just like hoping he'll run out of the Casa Rosada. Which
does he have a Twitter?
I think he does. Yeah, I mean, I'm not on Twitter.
Awesome.
So
he's always retweeting Rothbard, and he's always retweeting Rothbard and all the
LRN.FM.
It's okay. Just don't pray you can't cuss on the air.
I didn't say anything wrong. Sorry.
Yeah, but we can't say any FCC unfriendly things on the air. I kind of forgot to tell you that, but you mostly don't cuss, so. Anyways.
Yeah, I cuss very little, but he did call the just like last week he called the Colombian president a murderer is in this country.
Well, he is a murderer, right?
Yeah, he was actually a murderer, but that's like to call somebody else that I actually kind of disagree with some of that, but. So he does still has that in him.
But what kind of policies has he started implementing since he's gotten into office? Because people, of course, a lot of people are, even me, like when he ran, I was like, this is interesting, but it's probably a psyops. This is interesting, but I am just so black-pilled on the entire world that it's probably all fake. So what has he actually done that's good since he got into office?
So he is not fake. And I was like you, like, what is he going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And he has gone light speed towards deregulating his country, towards cutting spending. So when he got elected, the first month of him being in government, they cut the government spending 30%. So 30% lower spending
in just the first month. Yeah,
in just the first month. His first day,
he eliminated all of those departments from 21 down to 9.
Yeah, and he's eliminated one more to 8.
So he did get that last one.
He got rid of infrastructure.
Oh, okay. Yeah, because, I was looking at it, I was like, oh, you liar, you fake, you phony. You said you were going to go to 8. Ah, we are not getting what we wanted here. What a he's a psyop because he said 8, but he left us with 9, right? Now he's actually done that, so... Yeah, that's nice.
Yeah, so he's cut down. He's cut down from 21 to 8. He just on the government side, he's eliminated all the political appointees, a ton of them. I can't remember. It's like over. It's quite a few of them that he's eliminated.
But thousands of actual government employees have been basically fired.
Yeah. Right, he's fired. He's requiring everybody to go to work, so you have to actually go to work. So what Argentina's interesting, after the pandemic, they were all remote work. And what happens in Argentina is, there's so much fraud in the government, whereas everybody knows this happens. It happens all the time, and people know that people that do this. Let's say you get a job with the government and you go on maternity leave. You're still getting paid. You just never come back, and they keep paying you. They do stuff like that all the time, whereas all these people just keep getting paid by the government. They don't even work. And Milei's like, you got to come into the office. For you to get paid, you have to actually come into the office. So he's requiring people to come into the office.
He's kind of been Elon Musk for Twitter, but with the whole country.
Yeah, so he's – yeah, and – And so he's cutting out those people that are fraud. He's auditing every single department, and they're cutting everything. I mean, all the cars, all the cell phone plans, anything that's waste, they're cutting. Argentina has all these welfare plans, and they found out that 160,000 welfare plans were going to rich people.
They also cut payments to people who were receiving them who didn't even live in the country.
Wow.
That's right. That's what I'm talking about. These welfare plans were going to people that are rich and stuff. I mean, you'd like to have an extra $2,000 in your pocket just from the government. I mean, so yeah, he did that.
But they were mad.
Remember what I told you about the infrastructure projects being the source of corruption in Argentina? Mm-hmm. He ended all the infrastructure projects.
So he's just gonna privatize it, basically.
Provinces.
Well, he would want to as an Austrian economist type guy, but he's at least just cutting the government funding of all the current projects that they're doing.
That's right. He's in his omnibus law that he's doing right now. He's basically setting up where they can privately pay for these they could raise money privately for these infrastructure projects. Argentina is a provincial system, not a state system. So the central government really does run almost everything. They have way more power than the states do. And so really the central government runs the provinces. And he's reduced the amount of money to the provinces almost to basically cover the very bare, just the minimums that he needs to cover.
I thought he had to pump a bunch more money into the economy while he's doing these things so it doesn't cause really bad. So how's he doing that?
He's not pumping any money. He's not printing any money. He's not doing anything like that.
I guess I had a misunderstanding. I thought he was making kind of a cushion for people who, because with the way that he's making these changes, things are going to get worse before they get better, right? So
okay.
I thought
okay.
I think we did read an article a couple weeks ago or something that it seemed to allude to something like that. But,
yeah,
I mean, we kind of mentioned before some of it's hard because it's, all translated into English and it's, you're only getting a few perspectives. We're not able to absorb all of the content that is available on Malay.
So he didn't cut food stamps.
That's smart.
So if he's not cutting food stamps or anything like that. In fact, for children, he increased food stamps. So for children, 60% of the children in Argentina are poor, in poverty. So he's like, these children can't take care of themselves. So he was like, we're going to make sure they have food. So that's what's probably what you're referring to.
Hmm.
But so that's like one of the only things that he has done. But he's trying to give it's a country where people eat out of trash, regularly. And I've seen children have very little food. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. So it's not the worst thing in the world. That's just on the government side. He's been cutting spending like crazy. He did this, so the Peronists, the Kirchners, had control of the Congress and the executive branch. And what they did is they strengthened this executive order thing.
And now it's backfired on them. It's kind of funny.
Totally backfired on them. So they just did this executive order where they could do whatever they wanted to do.
And we see that all the time on Free Talk Live. We talk about how anytime you want to give the government some control of something when your guys are in, well, don't forget that when the other people are in, they're going to use it against you.
That's right. And
so that's happening in a good way.
Malay just, like, did this thing where he, like, deregulated the whole economy.
And he told the Wall Street Journal just this Monday, I think it was, he said, this, basically everything that Scott has went over in this segment, represents only a quarter of the reforms we are proposing, and once these laws have passed, we are willing to push for more.
I mean, you know, it's amazing too. Like that list, it's so comprehensive. I almost can't even like recall all the things on it.
It's
everything from licensing laws for different types of jobs to like restrictions on landlords to what else? You know, restrictions in different industries. Oh, yeah, open skies policy. You know, it's like all the little things, because you'll find, you know, especially amongst libertarians, we'll complain about some of these, like, certain things that there are, like, in the U.S., like, regarding airlines or, like, what is it, the Joneses Act? Is that the one with the,
ships?
We'll complain about those things. And it's just, those are little ones that, like, kind of bother us. And you have this whole entire list of them, and each one of them might not even be that significant, you know, as opposed to just some, you know, general level of taxation for the average person. But, you know, he's, like, doing everything. It's like each and every little thing that anybody who's a libertarian or Austrian economist type guy would do if they were, you know, in that position. Or at least that's the test I've been using as I look at it. I'm like, what would I do if I was in his position? Well, you know, I'd come in and on the first day I would eliminate everything I possibly could. I wouldn't try and hold back, you know, and I'd show the people that I am actually doing what I'm saying I'm going to do to get support. Because I've seen it so many times, you know, politicians in the U.S., you know, specifically Republicans, who will say they're going to, like, do some good stuff, some libertarian stuff, free the economy in this way or that way. And they come in and they don't really do any of that. And then it, like, turns into this, like, whole bargaining chip thing. Oh, I couldn't do all of it now and whatever. But then it's like, well, now I don't even want to, like, help, you know, like support you at all. But in his case, he's even like kind of pressuring the Congress. He's like, hey, look, I, you know, we're waiting on you guys right now, and I just got voted in by this huge majority. So, you know, you guys might be on the chopping block next with the voters, because they're behind me, you know.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And he's been going at such a rapid pace that it has actually galvanized a lot of people behind him that actually see that he's for real. And a lot of these people were talking about how his Congress is just so terrible. It's all social Democrats. And, I mean, there's a few libertarians. His party, out of 257, only got 38 elected, the libertarians. Now, when he got elected, there was only two, I think. It was either two to five. I think there's only two when he got elected in 2021.
And how many are in Congress now?
257.
Wow.
So his party got 38 elected, which is a big increase, but only 38 out of 257.
Oh, okay. Well, still, there are 38 in the Congress. Not that in the United States. 38, you know, basically ANCAPs.
La Libertad Avanza, which is like libertarians.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's also breaking up the whole entire as he would call it, the caste, the whole political system up there, to where people who've been in these parties but haven't been able to go against them, you know, are actually kind of like, oh, well, maybe I'll jump ship. And maybe those people who aren't principled, you know, that could be it, or they don't have, you know, the fortitude to stand up for what they believe in until there's somebody else is there to do it for them. But at least there are people even switching sides, so to speak. I don't know if they're actually changing any kind of party affiliation, but I hear that people who have been in the other two, you know, the Peronists and the Kirchner, I can't say it.
But anyways, the Peronists and Kirchners are the
yeah.
same. The Peronists and the center right, they call them the pro. Here's the thing: they change their names all the time. They keep the same like symbols and stuff, but they change their names. So I just call them the center right party, the pro party. They're with Malay. They won't go as far as Malay wants to go and everything, but they're with him on a lot of this stuff. So, and it just the fact that he's been such a strong leader. I mean, you know, when Trump got elected, and I know we don't, but like,
we're going to lock her up. We're going to throw her in jail.
I know, but he was like a bumbling fool when he was president. You know,
yes, he was going to get you, but he could only get Ian. No. That's
awesome. Oh, God.
Lock her up, Hillary.
But he was such a bumbling fool when he was elected. Like,
he didn't do anything, you know. In fact, that's another thing. You know, I just want to say, like
yeah,
Malay has this extreme agenda. I mean, it's, you know, extreme by some people's viewpoints. It's reasonable to us. But, you know, what's the closest that we've ever gotten from anything here in the U.S.? Like, I mean, Ronald Reagan said he was going to get rid of the Education Department. That's just one. And then
it didn't happen. But that's what we're seeing, right? So we see, like, even with Donald Trump, how he, like, promised all these things. None of that happened.
Right.
But for some reason, people are still, like, diehard Donald Trump fans. Like,
yeah, exactly.
He's going to save us, Joe Biden, so bad. But Malay got in office, and immediately, like, within days of him being in office, he had already done more than any U.S. president ever had.
Yeah, and a lot of the people who are like, oh, it's a psyop and all of this, one, they're not checking into any of these details, I find. They just say very ignorant things that I'm, oh, darn, there we go again. I was going to circle back to something I said earlier.
This,
yeah.
Okay, then just hold on. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up. Don't go anywhere. And we'll be back for the last hour of Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere.
Yeah.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the mineral doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Looking for that edge during those intimate moments? We see many ads for enhancement, but the side effects include death. At GCN Team, we should change the Healthy Body Brain and Heart Pack to the Healthy Libido Pack. The brain and heart are not the only organs that require a healthy vascular system. For proper blood flow at the right moment, go to GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.